I'm Montse Alvarado, tonight on EWTN News Nightly. Tragedy in Texas. As crews work tirelessly to find the missing after torrential flooding, we have team coverage. The search for peace. President Trump hosts Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as negotiators work out a potential ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Let's make a deal. The Trump administration puts pressure on other countries as the trade deadline looms. And hitting the road. Pope Leo is welcomed by the faithful as he arrives at his summer residence in Castel Gandolfo. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the feast day of the Blessed Ulma family. Tonight, we begin with a heart-wrenching story out of Texas. Unusually heavy rainfall triggered catastrophic flash flooding over the weekend that killed dozens. It's a tragedy that has no right or wrong answers. While there are overwhelming feelings of loss and sadness, not just in the state, but across the country, there's also hope and comfort from the prayers of the faithful and the words of Pope Leo XIV.
I would like to express sincere condolences to all the families who have lost loved ones, in particular their daughters who were at summer camp in the disaster caused by the flooding of the Guadalupe River in Texas in the United States. We pray for them.
Nearly 100 are dead and dozens of others are missing as crews search desperately to find any and all survivors in central Texas. In the early morning hours of July 4th, 12 inches of rain fell in the area. This time lapse of the Llano River in Kingsland shows you just how quickly the waters rose. The flash flooding left disaster in its wake, uprooting trees, clearing out houses, and sadly, claiming the lives of dozens of young girls staying at a summer camp in Hunt, Texas. Camp Mystic is a Christian camp located along the Guadalupe River, which rose 26 feet in 45 minutes. 27 campers and one counselor were killed in the floods, and 10 other girls are still missing.
I've lost near friends, best friends, my bus, my godchildren, my house, my car, you know, all those materialistic things, but it's those people that still haven't been found, some of them, just praying for their recovery, and everyone else affected as well.
A boys' camp also located in Hunt, Texas, had to be evacuated due to the flooding as well. We'd like to welcome now to the show Bertie Chaudois, whose sons were rescued from that camp. Bertie, thank you so much for joining us first. How are you doing, and how are your sons?
Bridie Chaudois, I'm here in San Antonio. One of my sons was, he had been dropped off on Wednesday. He was excited to be attending Camp La Junta for his fourth year. He's a second generation camper. My husband was a counselor and camper at La Junta as well. He was there with his cousins. It's just very hard to describe for those who haven't been there. It's a very, very special place. My in-laws live in the area, and I think just the extent of the damage and the gravity of the devastation is really settling in. So, and you know, imagining what could have been for my own children, and my heart aches for all of those who've lost.
Bridie, that must be so hard, and I know that your community is praying with you in these important moments. We did hear that it was their faith, the faith of your young boys, that helped them get through this terrifying experience. What can you tell us about that faith?
You know, I can only speak for my 12-year-old son. He has a very strong faith. And when he left, I told him part of the special thing about going to camp in the hill country and in Hunt is to be detached from this outside world and to enjoy God's beautiful creation, because it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And he wanted to take his rosary. When we picked him up from the reunification site, he gave me a big hug. He was he's very sensitive, and he was just outlining the events that happened that morning. And he told me that he had prayed the rosary before he went to bed, and he prayed the St. Michael prayer. So I was very comforted to know that in those in the middle of that, that he could rely on his faith.
It's certain Our Lady of Guadalupe and St. Michael were certainly looking after him and his brother. Now, you were supposed to send your daughter to Camp Mystic, but you didn't.
Yeah.
What happened there?
She was set to go in August. She was going to be in the Bubble Inn cabin with her cousin from Houston. And no, she was, all we did last week, it was her birthday. She's been just over the moon excited about going. We painted her name on her trunk. She wanted to put stickers on her trunk for her birthday. We told her we would get clothes for camp. You choose your Indian, they have tribes. So whether you're a Kiowa or a Tonk, as a first time camper, she would take both colors so she would know her tribe when she would draw. And she was there. So she was not going to go until the third term.
And that saved your life. Well, we're praying for you, and we're praying that your community comes around you to help you in these moments. And we're grateful that your sons are well. Thank you so much. Also among the dead were two sisters, 13 and 11-year-old Blair and Brooke Harbor. Their bodies were found with rosaries and their hands locked together. They were staying with their grandparents, who remain missing today. The girls attended St. Rita Catholic School in Dallas, Texas. The school released a statement saying, in part, "We will stand with the Harbor family in the days to come, surrounding them with our prayers, compassion, and unwavering support. As a community of faith, we hold on to the hope and promise that Christ has defeated death and that eternal life is waiting for those who love him." For more, let's bring in San Antonio's Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller. Archbishop, you met with some of the affected families. Tell us, how are they doing? How are you doing?
Well, yes, I met several families at the Unification Center in Kerrville, Texas. It was the place is a school, and families that were coming to exchange information to the people who were able to find out about their beloved ones. It was on Friday, the very day of the tragedy, very difficult. And not only difficult for me, but more difficult for them. They were in tremendous pain. That they were not able to, they would not be able to express it verbally, but you were able to see in their eyes, in their faces, in their bodies, that they were carrying a lot of sorrow and also fear. They were scared about the possible news coming for them in the next 2, 4, 8 hours. Most of the people waiting were young people, young couples. Also, there were the elderly, grandpas, grandmas, aunts and uncles. And all the people there were pretty much in silence. As I said, they were not able to express and articulate their feelings.
It must be so
they
hard.
They knew about their feelings, but they couldn't express them well. The environment was a very respectful environment. And eventually, towards the evening, they were able to hear 2 or 3 names at a time. There was 3 names, silence, and then another three names or two names, four names of those who were rescued. They were ready to connect. And even though the names were being said, they were not expressing verbally their feelings. I followed a couple of them out of the building, and it's when the encounter was taking place. It was something beautiful, but even they were not able to express the joy of the encounter because it was too much. But they were very grateful.
Thank you so much, yes. Archbishop Gustavo. Right. It's wonderful that they have you, this pastoral community, in this difficult moment.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Texas still isn't in the clear. There's still more rain in the forecast, bringing new threats of flooding. For more, we turn to Alana Cameron from Weather Nation. First off, Alana, let's look at the forecast looking forward for today and the coming days. Is there a threat of more flooding?
Absolutely. We have a lot of flood alerts that have been issued across the Texas Hill Country, and I'll show you what some of those alerts look like. But I just wanted to show you the map of how much rainfall the Texas Hill Country received from this flooding event. In fact, some of these totals outside of Burnett and down through Kerr County, they were upwards of 21 inches. So now any kind of rainfall that happens in these areas is really going to put the area at a vulnerable state. We're looking at some of the flash flood warnings that were issued from the 4th of July. There are about 40 flash flood warnings, and there's currently some flash flood warnings that have been issued. Now, the Guadalupe River at Comfort, Texas, within an hour, it rose from 3 feet all the way up to 32 feet. So there was little time for preparations for this event to happen. So moving forward, there is an excessive rainfall outlook. It's on a scale of 1 to 4. And in the Texas Hill Country, we're at a level 3. So it's a pretty heightened threat across these areas, not just for the Hill Country. This extends all the way towards the Interstate 35 corridor and all the way down to the Big Bend of Texas. Rainfall to come. We could still see a few pockets of 1 to 3 inches highlighted into the yellow shades out here, which may not seem a lot when we had 20 inches last week, but all it's going to take is just a little bit of rain to make this area at risk for some flash flooding. So please pay attention to the alerts in your area and have those alerts turned on your phone. Now, if you're returning home from this flooding event that happened, make sure that you're being safe, turning off the gas and electric, because we don't want any kind of incidents to happen after this. Now, some of the reliable sources where you can help at home, whether it's volunteering or donating. Here's a list of this. The Kerr County Flood Relief Fund. These are all trusted sources for you to be able to help out from this situation. More rain to come in the long range forecast as well. Back to you.
Thank you so much, Alana. Of course, we can also give to Catholic Charities. Alana Cameron from Weather Nation. We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly, including response from Washington. As searches and cleanup take place in Texas, the White House responds to the tragedy when President Trump is planning to visit. And after more than a decade, the Pope returns to Castel Gandolfo, how residents welcome the Holy Father. President Donald Trump describes the flooding in central Texas as absolutely horrible. He also declared a major disaster for the state, authorizing federal relief and recovery assistance. The president, who may visit Texas Friday if the situation allows, says families are enduring an unimaginable tragedy. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports.
This was the thing that happened in seconds. Nobody expected it. Nobody saw it.
While in New Jersey, President Donald Trump tells reporters the flash floods that slammed central Texas were a 100-year catastrophe and so horrible to watch.
So we say God bless all of the people that have gone through so much, and God bless the state of Texas. It's an incredible place.
For now, the search continues for victims of the catastrophic flash flooding. Experts have warned staffing cuts to the National Weather Service could endanger lives, and Democrats wasted little time linking staff reductions to the disaster. But the White House pushes back, defending the National Weather Service, saying it did its job.
We know the National Weather Service provided early and consistent warnings. They gave out timely flash flood alerts. There were record-breaking lead times in the lead-up to this catastrophe. There is ongoing flood monitoring, and these offices were well-staffed. In fact, one of the offices was actually overstaffed. They had more people than they need. So any claim to the contrary is completely false.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, who hails from Texas, posting on social media, "The heartbreak out of the Texas Hill Country is beyond words. We are mourning alongside families, including several dear friends who have lost so much, and lifting them up in constant prayer." And the White House Faith Office asking people to join us in prayer for the precious lives lost in the Texas floods. May God wrap his loving arms around all those in Texas. Meanwhile, at the scene of the devastation, one volunteer, a Marine, came to help families find closure.
Especially for the children that were lost at the camps and are still missing, I figured I could be doing my part just as much as these first responders and active personnel are doing.
Reporting for EWTN News Nightly, I'm Owen Jensen.
The deadly floods in Texas also hit close to home for several U.S. lawmakers, while others are calling for greater attention to possible emerging weather patterns. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales joins us inside our studios with more. Eric?
Well, good evening, Monsi. Yes, the summer camps dotting the Guadalupe River are popular with families, several members of Congress, and in some cases, generations of their children have attended these camps. Texas Congressman August Pfluger's daughters were at Camp Mystic when the floods engulfed the area. Thankfully, he posted on X that his daughters were safe, but it was a close call.
Congressman Pfluger went on to say on X, "Camille, Vivian, and I are now reunited with Caroline and Juliana, who were evacuated from Camp Mystic. The last day has brought unimaginable grief to many families, and we mourn with them, as well as holding out hope for survivors." Georgia Congressman Buddy Carter's granddaughters were at the summer camp as well. He posted, quote, "My granddaughters are safe. Unfortunately, not everyone was as lucky. My granddaughters lost their cousin Janie, and many other families are grieving loved ones." Republican Congressman Chip Roy's district includes the flood-ravaged areas. He says that there will be second-guessing and finger-pointing as people look for someone to blame, but now is not the time.
And the heroic efforts of people that worked in those camps, directors of the camps, people who owned the camps, who not just risked their lives, gave their lives to try to go save the lives of those kids. That's who they are as Texans.
Some Democrats are already doing just that, accusing the Trump administration of not being serious about the environment.
I think climate change is obviously a part of it. These floods are happening more often in more parts of the country and really all over the world. And so we have to face that reality and be better prepared for it and combat it.
Some are also blaming the administration for cutting disaster preparedness in Texas and other states. For instance, the National Weather Service, which issues forecasts and warnings, lost more than 550 workers earlier this year, some through attrition. The White House says staffing did not affect the ability of Texas to prepare for the disaster. The administration is also cutting more than $2 billion from NOAA, including the entire climate change research program.
The Trump administration is dismantling the research arm of NOAA, which gets us all of the weather and climate research we need, that people in agriculture need, that people in business need, and that all of America, all of the world needs in terms of fighting climate change.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says President Trump is on top of the issue.
Every available resource has been deployed. The president, of course, is dialed in and watching this develop moment by moment as we are, and we'll handle supplemental funding requests as they come in.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has written a letter to the Commerce Department demanding an investigation into staffing shortfalls at the National Weather Service and any impact that it's had in the recent tragedy, along with other congressional hearings may be planned as well. Monse, back to you.
Thank you so much, Eric. Well, an Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in Washington, D.C. today for his third visit this year. President Trump is hosting the prime minister at the White House. Israel's leader says progress is being made in reaching a ceasefire with Hamas. Trump has made clear that after the 12-day war between Iran and Israel, he would like to see the war in Gaza end soon. Netanyahu was scheduled to meet with Special Envoy Steve Witkoff as well as Secretary of State Marco Rubio prior to a private dinner with the president. Meanwhile, Israel has launched new airstrikes on the Houthi rebels after the group attacked a bulk carrier ship. The Houthis claim they attacked the Greek-owned ship with drones, missiles, and rocket-propelled grenades, forcing the crew to abandon the vessel. The exchanges raised fears of a renewed Houthi campaign against shipping. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says the Trump administration is updating its timeline for reciprocal tariffs to take effect.
The president will also sign an executive order today delaying the July 9th deadline to August 1st. So the reciprocal tariff rate or these new rates that will be provided in this correspondence to these foreign leaders will be going out the door within the next month, or deals will be made.
Additionally, the White House says several countries are calling to negotiate with the president on a trade deal. Meanwhile, President Trump shared letters to Japan and South Korea on Truth Social today, announcing a 25% tariff on goods from the nations beginning August 1st. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, a warm welcome. Pope Leo XIV resumes a tradition to beat the blazing summer heat in Rome. Arrival yesterday at Castel Gandolfo, Pope Leo XIV officially began his summer holiday. He also revived the papal tradition of retreating from Rome's sweltering summer heat. EWTN Vatican correspondent Valentina Di Donato has more.
As the clock struck 5 p.m., the square of the Apostolic Palace in the hilltop town of Castel Gandolfo roared with a warm welcome. Pope Leo, walking through the crowds of faithful, eager to catch a rare close-up glimpse of the Holy Father as he arrived at Castel Gandolfo on Sunday to begin his summer holidays and escape the heat of the city. The home away from the Vatican, where many popes have stayed for their summer vacation for over 400 years. Earlier in the day, Pope Leo gave his Sunday Angelus, making it his final appearance from St. Peter's Square until the end of his summer retreat. Pope Leo offered a reflection on the missionary nature of the Church and urged Christians to become committed witnesses of faith in their daily lives.
Cari fratelli e sorelle,
dear brothers and sisters, the Church and the world do not need people who fulfill their religious duties as if the faith were merely an external label. We need laborers who are eager to work in the mission field, loving disciples who bear witness to the kingdom of God in all places.
Ovunque si trovano.
There is a historic bond between the town of Castel Gandolfo and the papacy, an idyllic destination just 13 miles from Rome. And though Pope Francis chose not to stay at Castel Gandolfo, Pope Leo is resuming the tradition. And locals, shopkeepers, and tourists from around the world are thrilled.
After 12 years of waiting, when Pope Francis decided not to come here, which he had his reasons for, now the return of the Pope is a great celebration for the people of Castel Gandolfo. Let's remember that there's a long history of papal presence here, going back to Pope Urban VIII in the 16th century. After that, popes continued to come regularly. Castel Gandolfo is, one could say, married to presence of popes. That's why the return of Pope Leo is a celebration for all of us.
Papieża Leona jest świętem nas wszystkich.
The Pope's first public engagement in Castel Gandolfo will be the celebration of Mass at the Church of St. Thomas of Villanova this Sunday. We spoke to Father Tadus Rotsmus, the parish priest, who says the Pope's return to the summer residence is a meaningful one, and the town is eager to welcome him.
On the 13th, he will celebrate his first Mass here with us. I already have many friends and acquaintances trying to get into the church. Of course, the square outside will be open and full for all who want to come.
In Rome, Valentina Di Donato for EWTN News Nightly.
We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Montse Alvarado. Good night, and God bless you.